Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Raiders Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel. You are Nathan. We're brothers. We read comics.
Give him some credit, listeners. He's been nailing the intro for many, many weeks in a row.
Possibly years. I don't know. Yeah.
Plus, this is a back-to-back recording, so this is the second.
I just really love this shirt.
Here's off your game. I love this blank maroon shirt.
Yeah, it's really late. We'd normally be going home by now.
Yeah. But you are going and traveling the world.
Yeah, I'll be in Belgium by the time this episode comes out.
Holy shit. Wait, where are you going? I actually don't even know.
London, Paris, and then Belgium. Brussels in Belgium.
Brussels.
Yeah.
What is that? Where is that?
It's a city in Belgium.
Okay.
Dude, I don't know. If you gave me a blank map and told me to pick where Belgium is, I would get it wrong.
So you didn't plan this?
No. But Sarah sold me on it.
Okay.
There's a beer museum in Belgium. We're going to that, motherfucker. It's going to be sick.
A Mubeerzum? I tried.
A Bruseum?
A Bruseum.
Oh.
That's much better. We got there.
I saw this TikTok of like best beers in like the world. And they like ranked them, right? And what country they're from. And like top 10, like four of them were from like Belgium. So I'm going to try some of those.
We're in Germany. I feel like they do that pretty well over there.
Probably a couple. I wasn't paying attention to that because I'm not going there.
What about Ireland?
Probably one.
I would like to go to Ireland.
What, for Dublin?
Yeah.
And just go to the Guinness
Brewery? Dude, there was a... I took sign language in high school and we had to do a sign language project where we travel somewhere with like $3,000 budget or something. And then we'd have to sign to our teacher like what our plans were in wherever we picked.
Oh, fuck.
And I was partnered with Parker, my friend.
Oh no.
And we had actually a pretty fucking cool trip to Ireland for $3,000, and ever since we've done that, we were like, we should go to Ireland. we've got it all here. We got it all planned out.
Dude, so, I saw a TikTok about that where a teacher has kids do that on like a $3,000 budget.
Yeah, but then they go.
Yeah, then they actually do it.
Dude, what if my teacher did that?
Genius.
And she's living out my dream of going to of going to an aquarium in Dublin. Which is one of the things that we did.
An aquarium, that's what you choose?
Yeah, well, we had $3,000, Daniel. What are we going to... We can't do a whole lot, but...
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, we don't have news this week.
Yeah.
So what do we read this week, Nathan?
Daniel, we read Killadelphia.
Yeah.
By...
From Image Comics.
Rodney Barnes, Jason Sean Alexander, and Luis NCT. Why are you abbreviating your last name?
Dude, this has a quote from Jordan Peele, dude.
Whoa, really?
Philadelphia is the stunning and fresh horror fable I've been craving. This one feels like a classic.
Do you agree with Jordan Peele, Daniel?
The biggest flex. Yeah.
Nice.
How'd you feel about this?
Dude, I cannot get into vampire books.
Dude, this was so sick and you're stupid.
Dude, it's really not that good. In my mind, there's never been a bigger variance of writer... like talent to artist talent.
Dude,
Jason Sean Alexander is fucking unbelievable in this, and absolutely, if it's anybody else, I'm not reading this all the way through, you know.
I thought you would like this, dude.
I don't.
Really? I thought this was like probably one of our better horror books that we've read.
This is hardly horror.
This is so horror.
This is like barely horror more than Immortal Hulk.
I think you're just a vampaphobe or something.
I think I'm a vampire hater, but like I tried.
You have to like be open to the idea of vampires and not be like...
I really was.
Not being a grump going into it.
I'm not a grump going into it.
Were you actually reading this? Were you very tired?
No, I wasn't.
Is it because we had two books this week?
In fact, Daniel, I was reading in one of my most ideal environments, which is when I...
Have a coffee and Kilo's next to you on the couch at dawn.
That's number one.
Oh.
But the situation I'm talking about is
You're on the clock and you're getting paid for it.
I was technically on the clock because I'm a salary worker, but I went lunch. I had lunch with coworkers and it was like really quick. We ate really fast. And then as we're walking back to the office, I was like, I have to go make a call. And then I left and I went into like the community area, very comfortable couches, very air conditioned. I still had my drink and it was a very comfortable comics reading environment where I was just by myself and I told somebody I was doing something else, you know? So it was a little devious, a little scandalous, maybe.
Because
I'm not going to tell someone like, oh, I'll meet you guys back at the office. I'm going to go read comics because that's cringe, you know?
Yeah.
So I think I don't think it's the vampires that like maybe not like this. I think it's like the first issue and it like threw me off and I'm like, what are we even doing?
But it does bounce back.
It does bounce back. It gets better. I really liked issue three, but yeah. I think at the end I was like, fine.
So the first one's a little confusing.
As far as story, yeah.
The
first one's very confusing.
Towards the end, I'm like, all right, this is getting a little like outside of what I know vampires to be. And yeah. So that kind of, I didn't love.
Which is fine. Like, I think that's probably something I prefer because I don't really like vampires normally. So sure. It's like you have to twist it a little bit. So I'm open to that. And I was excited to see if they're doing something different.
So to kind of let you know more about Rodney Barnes, he's a screenwriter.
Shocker. Yeah,
he's worked on things like HBO's Winning Time, which is currently coming out, that Hulu Wu-Tang series.
Okay.
Remember that show on Adult Swim, The Boondocks?
Yeah.
He's the writer of that.
The main writer. I like Boondocks.
Like, yeah. And you remember Everyone Hates Chris?
Yep.
You wrote that.
Mm-hmm. This is all in the creator bios in the back of the book.
Yeah. So, oh, really? I didn't get to that bit. Mm.
You didn't finish the book, is what you're saying?
I always leave the back matter for this, so it's like a live reaction.
Okay. All right. Fair.
So yeah, he's very, very involved with like black storytelling, which is sick.
Yeah.
And then that's also what this is.
The idea, I think,
so
is pretty cool.
So you are voting against the Eisners.
Yes.
The Eisner voters.
Yeah.
Do you think this does not deserve an Eisner?
No, it absolutely does.
Okay.
For writing. Jason Sean Alexander.
Yeah, the art was incredible. It gave me like literally like Gideon Falls vibes, like Andrew Sorrentino, you know? That's what it mostly reminded me of.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a distinct difference between him and Sorrentino. I think he has like a more, it's definitely like all digital what he does, but it feels more multimedia. There's like more of like a graphite sort of feel to it.
Sure.
Which I like a lot. I was like drooling over some of these pages. Like some of them are really, really strong. And some of them, he's going way too hard. Like you didn't need to go this crazy, but he does.
Yeah.
And so I've never seen him do anything else. So like halfway through, I'm like, I need to know what else this guy's done.
Yeah.
So he's really, really strong. Did they win an Eisner for writing? You don't have to know.
I think it was like best series, ongoing series or something.
Okay. I could believe that. Cause I think the concept of it is good enough to make a book about, but there's parts of it where I'm like, what is this? One of them, Daniel, do not make two main characters have literally the same name.
Yeah.
Because there's James Sangster Sr. and James Sangster Jr. And it's not even very clear that there's two different people in the beginning.
Yeah, like, because
I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, you're not sure. I guess, like, the one with the Nirvana poster is probably the son. But they also dress the same.
Yeah, they both wear fucking button up in a black tie. Like, what am I supposed to do with this, you know?
Yeah. Dude, do you know Joe Morton?
No.
So, you know, in like Justice League, the movie, the guy who plays like Cyborg's dad?
Yeah. Looks exactly like him.
It's exactly who Sangster Sr. is.
Yeah, you nailed that.
That must have been like his, maybe he knows from television, you know? He's like, can you take some reference pictures or something?
No, he talks about his process in the back matter, but he hires models.
Oh, okay.
Expensive models, apparently.
Yeah.
So, and that really shines through. Like, I think that even like some of the smallest things, I'm like, this is just really cool to look at. Like the way that he renders people and everything is just unbelievable. So really, so, that's the best part. That's why I think there's such a big, I think he's just elite, but parts of the book, I'm like, this is just strange. So anyway, let's get into it.
All right.
Sounds like it'll be fun to talk about.
I guess so.
But
liked
it.
I thought we'd be on the same page. Yeah. I love this.
What'd you like about it?
I thought it was like I like the setting. Like mm-hmm. the social issues that he ties into this, the kind of the lore that comes around with it, as far as the supernatural aspect of it, making it like not cringe. And then I thought the vampires in this and like the settings where they are were actually like scary. Like there's scary imagery, which Agreed. Is what horror is the best you can get when it comes to comics, you know?
I want more vampires.
You're not going to be like, wah, you know?
Yeah, true, yeah.
But sure, there could have been more vampires, but it's not like non-vampire stuff was so dialogue heavy to where you were bored.
Yeah, true.
I think if you read this tired, no, it's not going to flow super well. But if you're just reading it, like it looks like a book that would kind of slow you down, but I was flying through this.
Yeah.
I thought it was incredibly engaging.
Okay. Interesting.
And so, and then, you know, great art.
Yeah. 100%. Okay. So let's get into it. So there's James Sangster Sr. who's working on a homicide case.
What do they call him in like the
dude, they,
the son?
They don't. It's very frustrating.
Let's go Sangster for dad and then Junior for son.
There's
just as far as we refer
Sangster,
to them.
Sangster, dad's junior son. Okay, that's fair.
Or we can just call him
dad. I wish they did that. Also, name your son something different. If you're going to write a book, you know?
I mean, it could have been like...
Make him Kevin.
Could have been...
In James.
James, you know? And Jimmy kind of thing.
I think they resort to that, but it's his name is still James. Which they,
sure.
They make a very clear point to like... The son is named James Sangster Jr. People call him Jimmy sometimes, but not consistently.
Right.
So, I don't know. That fucked me up. Because in this first issue, it kind of bounces back between the perspectives of those two people.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who am I
looking
at? Who am I right now? Like, who am I reading about right now? So, yeah. It's very strange. But, so, Sangster Sr. is working a homicide case that was passed over from a missing persons department. And when he goes to check out a lead that he had, he's killed by vampires, but no one really knows what happened. His son, who's also a detective, but for a different thing. Also, yeah, they have the same fucking job.
Is he a detective?
Something like that. I don't know.
I thought he was like a reporter or something. Hold on. He sends an email. Let me look.
Okay, so Junior says back to being a no-name beat cop going nowhere fast.
Okay, so cop.
So he is a cop. Which makes it also confusing. But anyway, so his son goes back to where his dad, the city where his dad was killed. He had moved away. He reads his dad's journal and discovers that they were working a case where people were killed by being bitten. And they had like the yellow fever or whatever. But where they were bitten, there's no blood being spilled. There's no blood in the scene. And so they're like, wow, this is a really professional guy that's doing it. But they eventually come to the conclusion that it's vampires. And the vampires date back to John Adams' presidency. And there's also some corrupt mayor guy named Gaskins.
Yeah. So what was cool about this is like, they're not just saying they're vampires, you know, it's like a doctor who like would, you know, diagnose these people. The closest thing they can come to is like yellow fever.
Yeah.
You know, which is kind of cool.
Which is something that had been cured. Well, yeah, because you're not going to be a doctor and be like, I think it's vampires.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But so, I like how there's like kind of this realistic take on what it could be.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. But it's very clear it's vampires because there's bite marks and shit like that. So,
yeah.
But yeah, 100%. If you're a doctor, you're not going to be like, you're going to find the closest thing. So, yeah, the thing that threw me off throughout this issue is I got confused on who Sangster Sr. and who Junior is in these. Because there's time jumps between perspectives of the dad and perspectives of the son. But there's also two different time periods between Sangster Sr. when he's investigating the case and before he gets killed. And also there's Sangster Sr. dialogue from what he's written in his book. So that's like a third perspective of like this one character.
Which is only done in this first issue. And all the captions are different colors.
Correct.
So you could figure it out if you really thought about it.
If you really, really had to be a detective like Sangster.
But dad, he dies at page 11. You know, he does. So that kind of wipes that clean. And I think
he does
once you realize there's two characters, there's the dad and the son, then you can kind of pick up in their face, like who's younger, who's older.
Yes. But he does die at page 11. But the rest of the issue is him from his perspective.
Getting to that point.
So he doesn't really, you know, which is fine. I was able to figure it out. You know, caption colors are a little bit different. So I'm like, okay, I think dad is like pink. You know, the pink cursive, that's, you know, definitely
dad.
I did
not like that. It was very hard to read.
Dude, they don't teach cursive anymore.
I know. I can read cursive.
This book is going to die because kids won't be able to read it.
I can read cursive, but this was actually, the handwriting was like a little difficult.
Yeah, it was almost doctor level.
But so when they're learning about vampires, the girl here like works at like the morgue or something.
Yeah.
And
she's like a forensic morgue person.
Yeah. And she does like.
Her name is
autopsies.
Her name is spelled Jose, but I think it's Josie.
Josie.
Okay.
And so when she's working at night, the zombies, or not the zombies, the vampires that are in this morgue, like in like the freezer or whatever, they'll just bang on this door.
Yeah.
Like while they're there. And so they're like, what the fuck is happening?
Exactly.
And then as soon as like daylight comes on, they all just go back to sleep.
Yeah, they're like, oh man, I'm pretty tired. Had a rough day of banging on the door.
Which I think is fun.
Yeah, so definitely Jason Saw and Alexander carries through a lot of this exposition heavy stuff, because like every page I feel like there's something really interesting to look at, because he has that graphite style, especially with like the vampires and like the lettering on those pages specifically, where they're banging on the door, there's like crazy lettering that's really scratchy and stuff, and he does really good with like the shading of like the horror stuff,
right?
So I love seeing that, and I wish there was a little bit more throughout the book, because it's really fun to look at, and it is supposed to be like a horror noir book, but you know, whatever. I think it's preference, I think what we do see makes sense.
Yeah, so,
yeah, but
in the comic the thing that we do see makes sense.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm saying the amount of vampires that we see like makes sense, because you have to have room to like build up the story, whatever. It can't just be 30 Days of Night, which I think Jason Sean Alexander did.
Perhaps. I think for the first issue, it's enough to keep you going and keep you interested, because as a whole, it's much heavier at the end of the book, which I think is important to not like oversaturate it with just the scary stuff, because that makes it less scary, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You have to sort of.
I was almost thinking like maybe Serena should read this one, because I think she might like it more. You know, I don't know how she feels about vampire stuff, but I feel like the imagery is one of the scarier things that we've read.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. But so Sangster Jr. meets his dad's partner, Josie. They then go, or then Jr. goes to where his dad died, which is a building called Hell Hall. There are vampires there that he escapes from. And then he later goes to his dad's gravesite. He digs it up and he finds his dad there, who's now a vampire and was just like chilling in his coffin.
Kind of bizarre to dig up your dad.
Yeah, well, okay, so a thing that wasn't very clear, when you first see Junior, he's sending an email to somebody and he's like, forgive me for what I'm about to do. I think
it's to Josie, because it's like friends at girl 32 friends, or whatever. Yeah,
it's definitely Josie, which I guess he's apologizing to her about going to dig up his own dad's grave, which, like, I feel like that's your right to
like
do.
Like her friend.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't think it's anyone's right to do. I'm pretty sure it's illegal.
If I really needed to dig up your gravesite, if you really needed to dig up my gravesite, I give you my blessing.
Don't touch me.
Why not?
Because there's good grass on top of me.
I can plant it again. I got a green thumb.
It's turf.
Oh, no, do you? Yeah, I do.
So he goes to the Hell Hall and the vampires are hanging from the ceiling.
Yeah,
that's really fucking cool looking.
I like that, yeah. Their eyes are very fierce.
There's definitely different levels to these guys, like, I guess, how coherent they are. And these are like bottom of the barrel, just like bloodthirsty monsters kind of thing. Yeah,
I don't know what makes someone like feral and what makes someone like his dad, who can talk and control his...
Probably just like how well you're fed kind of thing.
But he's been stuck in this coffin for who knows how long, a couple of days.
I'm not going to get into the specifics, but in my mind, that makes most sense.
It hasn't been very clear. So that's
because who knows how long these people have been in like the Hell Hall.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
But so, I like the first chase, like the kind of blur that he puts on to show like the motion and how he's really fucking booking it.
He's really good at that. I really like this one panel where he's digging up his dad's grave.
Cool silhouette.
And it's like the silhouette with the moon in the background. Very, very good sense of composition. There's even like a glare thing. What do they call that? Lens flare?
Yeah.
And very cool. So,
and I didn't even think about, I guess from the captioning, I didn't pick up that that is what he was going to go do, is go dig up his dad.
Yeah.
And but when like the page turned to just like his dad eyes open in this coffin.
Mm-hmm. He's still posed, by the way. He's not like, oh, thank God. He's not like trying to climb out. He keeps that position, which is funny.
He's like, what took you so long? You know, I feel like his casket might be a little short because his head is kind of tilted.
Yeah.
You know, cause as if he was like, he had to kind of scrunch in there.
He climbs out and he's got to like crack his neck, or he's like, oh man, I think I slipped a disc or some shit.
Yeah. And so I thought that was a great last page for number one.
Yeah, I think that's a good cliffhanger.
So far, so good in my head.
I had to...
But this was a lengthy issue. It was like 29 pages, and then it was like a little denser, so it felt longer.
I didn't even necessarily recognize that. So typically what I do is I'll like take notes on what I notice so that I don't forget it. But then I just kind of go back after I read everything and take notes on each issue. Uh-huh. And I had to like really pay attention the second, like kind of skim through to really articulate like what was important and what was going on.
Okay.
After reading this first issue, I was like, I don't even know what the concept is really. Like, what are we doing?
Okay.
And so I was kind of put off by that, because this, there is a lot that goes on. First issues are really hard like that. And, you know, I understand that, because, like, especially the concept like this, there's a lot you have to set up.
Yeah.
I just think it could have been done in a bit more clear of a way. So,
yeah, I would have just, like,
because I'm not against any of these ideas. Dress
them differently, you know, to make it, like, abundantly clear that they're different people. Yeah. You know,
give one longer hair.
Longer hair.
That's it.
A mustache.
A mustache is a great idea. Dads have mustaches. Kids can have mustaches too.
An earring.
And yeah. All of these are great ideas.
So, yeah, maybe he just, like, wasn't a cop. He was like a...
Or a different name. How about that?
That would do the trick, I would say.
It's crazy.
But yeah, so
issue two, Daniel.
Issue two.
We meet Tevin Tompkins, who's the missing person that Sangster Sr. was investigating.
He goes to visit his Nana.
He is now a vampire and visits his grandma at the hospital, or a hospice, maybe. I think it's a hospital, but grandma's dying. It's pretty clear. Tevin offers to turn his grandma into a vampire, but she declines, claiming that you only get the time that you're given and anything else is an abomination. Good message. Meanwhile, Jimmy...
And vampires Junior. Fly. They, like, kind of float. You know? Yeah.
What is that? Why do vampires float? It's explained, but not here. And so I'm like, okay, they, vampires they kind float, of fly, I guess.
Like Morbius, you know, when they're actually moving.
Like the...
Yeah, the...
Yeah. Okay. But it's... Okay.
Like, so, I'm okay with it. Like,
it's explained later, but...
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it that their bones are hollow?
No.
Oh, okay. Because
the fact that you don't know is very interesting to me.
Okay, bats' bones are hollow. That's why they can fly so well.
That's a fun fact.
Yeah. A little bit of science.
But these guys don't turn into bats, do they, Daniel?
Nope. Not yet.
Did you read on?
No.
Find out that they turn? No, I didn't.
There's definitely that opportunity. Wait, why do they fly? Is it spoiler?
Yeah, there's magic. Yeah, see? Very confusing, right?
I don't know about that.
There is.
I'm just going to say that's
straight up
something they can do.
No. Oh, because only he does it.
No. The little girl that's a vampire flies.
Ooh, good point. So now I'm very confused. Can all vampires fly now? That doesn't make any sense. None of this makes sense now.
The people who are most coherent can fly. You know, they can control themselves.
Can John Adams fly? Because he never does.
Probably.
This is so weird.
Hey, spoilers. We don't know John Adams is in this. Okay.
So Junior brings his dad's partner, Josie, to see Vampire Dad. And Vampire Dad explains to her that John Adams is running the vampires.
Okay, thank you. Because I guess somehow he, like, shares memories or something.
This is what I have a problem with as well. Okay, he's never met John Adams.
I'll give you that.
He knows John Adams, second president of the United States, is running the vampires. There's no reason that he should know this. So that's a bit strange. But I guess I can, you know, believe that they have some sort of hive mind. But it's very convenient that he doesn't know everything about what they're trying to do. So I like, though, that in this scene, his dad's like, I'm fucking hungry. And they give him a glass of blood to drink out of, like it's fucking milk, which is pretty fun.
It looks like juice.
Yeah, it's like a...
It's in like one of those Kool-Aid. Like serving kind of glasses.
It's like a fancy water glass.
Yeah, that water at like a brunch place would have.
Yeah, thank God that Josie's like a morgue person, because she just has blood on hand, I guess.
Yeah.
So she's like, I guess I can spot you some blood.
Dad's like brutally honest about like how he's feeling. He's like, I'd like to bite you right now.
Yeah.
You know,
I like that too.
I thought that's fun.
He's like, it's a bit weird. I like the effect of the orange eyes.
Yeah.
That does help a little bit as far as distinguishing people. But sometimes it's not that clear, even with bright orange eyes, if you're a vampire. So anyway, there's a little girl named Brittany. She gets picked up by a man looking to do some very illegal things to her. But she's a vampire, and she has like a vampire horde attack him. And then he's later taken to the vampire lair, which is run by John Adams, second president of the United States. And he's running the whole thing, and he has the vampire's feast on this guy.
So a couple good horror panels, you know, the realization that the little girl is a vampire.
Or so can she turn her eyes off and on, or does she always have the eyes?
I fucking guess so.
Okay.
This one, when you realize what's happening, I think that's pretty spooky.
That's a pretty spooky panel.
Because I'm like, oh, they're in an alley. I'm like, what are all these bumps? Oh, those are silhouettes of heads. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So there's like a, yeah, very big horde of vampires that are creeping
and
in.
And just
on
like
this.
The breaking into the
I like the door. Scene a lot.
Yeah, it was very fun.
I like most of the stuff with this Brittany character, but she doesn't contribute a whole lot.
Yeah, it's a little odd. Like
this story, but she adds a lot of context, which I can appreciate, of like how all this
works.
You're
almost like on the side of like these vampires because they're kind of doing vigilante work in a way.
Yeah, it is.
Because they're just catching creepers.
Because Brittany, like, yeah, she just put herself out there as like bait, pretty much.
Yeah.
And
she's really like 104, but she looks like she's 12 or whatever.
Yeah, which is pretty fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess when you're turned into a vampire, you're like frozen in the state.
Yeah.
That you were in when you. Yeah, which makes sense. But
pretty standard.
So Tevin, the guy who's at the hospital floor, thinks that this is all very manipulative of John Adams, and he leaves. John Adams is kind of steezy in the sense that he's got great fashion sense.
Yeah, he definitely looks like a vampire. He dresses like a vampire would.
Yeah. Well, he's got like
red dress shirt, black suit.
He shaved his head, which is a good call.
Yeah. Goatee.
Goatee is great.
Very modern. No blouses or wigs.
It's very interesting that vampires can grow hair.
Do you need blood in your body to grow hair?
No, I just think it's interesting. I like this
design. Maybe that's the hair that he had left from when he died.
I don't think so. I think he was clean shaven when he died. There, you see when he dies, so we can double check. But yeah, I like that he has a goatee. I like that they didn't make him like this corny ass like
Dracula looking motherfucker,
or just like with the wigs, you know, that they had going on.
Oh yeah,
and like the
like actually look like a president out of time.
Yeah, like when was the Declaration of Independence signed?
1776.
1776.
19. I think less than 100 years ago.
It was like 50 years ago, right? No, 1776. Yeah. So I'm glad he's not wearing a 1776 fit and he's wearing like a modern fit. I like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, the Sangsters and Josie go back to the morgue or whatever, and they start to double tap all of the dead bodies to make sure that they're dead and to see if they're vampires. But when they go and check the refrigeration unit, they find a bunch of vampires there. And then...
So Dad's basically Blade.
Dude, you're right.
Yeah.
He's like Old Man Blade.
See, pretty cool. Ooh. Oh, I bet if this is a fucking Marvel comic and it was Old Man Blade, you'd fucking munch all over it.
I can't disagree with you.
So it's just the branding, you know,
no,
Mike?
No, it's not. I would still think it's dumb, I think. But this fucking page, are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I know. It's great.
It's so good.
Give me more.
I'm like, when I saw this, I'm like, this could be 10 out of 10 book.
This is what excites me about it, is like there's so much deep red. Why would you make a morgue refrigeration unit red? Like, why would the light in there be red, you know?
Maybe
is that like an official thing, because it's very spooky.
Maybe already. It was just covered in blood.
It could be covered in blood.
Yeah. You're
right. And then we end the issue with Tevin, who visits his grandma, who has sadly passed away in the hospital.
He's like, she did? No.
Yeah, because the nurse puts like the thing over her head.
I do see that.
Yeah.
I might have been moving too fast.
Mm-hmm.
But... That's too bad.
So my theory for this book is which I will never figure out, by the way, because I probably won't read on. But my theory is that Tevin made his grandma a vampire and she hasn't turned yet.
That would be something, but it's not. It's what she like. She didn't want it, you know?
She didn't want it, but maybe she's asleep. Tevin knows that she's about to die and he tries it anyway. Maybe something like that happens.
Hmm.
We'll see. You never know.
So there's like 30 issues of this out so far.
Yeah, it's gone pretty long.
Which seems like
a solid amount.
Not too hard to like...
It seems like is it over? Or is it still coming out?
No, it's on a hiatus. 31 comes out in November.
Okay.
So Volume 1 came out in 2020. So this really?
I thought it's been coming out since...
So it's like a 2019 in a 2020 book.
Interesting.
All right, so during my break... I talked to Sarah. She is almost done with school, right? She has a couple of classes left. They're all just like high level electives.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the classes available at Arizona State University is Star Wars Universe.
Yeah. I mean, I think I've seen that there was a Star Trek one, but I didn't know there was a Star Wars one.
Yeah, I guess every semester it's like a different universe or something.
Yeah, I think there's a Lord of the Rings one.
Wow. Yeah. But no, she's taking Star Wars Universe next semester.
Are you helping with homework?
I'm probably going to do it all. Like,
just take it.
Dude, this might be our in or like to getting her to watch the Star Wars movies.
Sarah?
Yeah. Since she hasn't seen any of them.
That's so funny.
ASU is the reason she watched Star Wars.
She had to do it because she was paying thousands to take it.
Yeah.
issue 3. I liked this issue a lot.
This was probably my favorite issue.
Probably my favorite issue as well. Because you just see what John Adams has been up to. What the fuck brought him here? But, you know, we see like the Sangsters and Josie fight off those vampires in the morgue. And so that part's pretty cool. This panel, we actually see the process of in the back matter. Is this one where he picks up a vampire.
Nice.
So that's pretty fun. But yeah, really good action in this scene. Like we haven't really
hell
seen
of
a
violence,
whole lot of,
dude.
Yeah, we haven't really seen like a whole lot of violence action in this. It's mainly just been people running away. So I really appreciated this. But as far as John Adams, he became a vampire while on an expedition. It was after his presidency, and he, you know, visited some island and got bit. And then after he got bit, he got this book that was given to him, which has the mysteries of reality in it. He mentions how being second president is a tough act to follow because George Washington did so much. And then it's just like, all right, now it's your turn, John Adams.
I guess his presidency is like kind of like trolled on, I guess. Like, I don't know what is so funny about it.
Okay, exactly.
But
because he's pressed.
Right. And he even brings up like the play Hamilton.
Yes.
And how they were roasting on John Adams during that.
Okay. I don't remember that specifically. I've seen parts of Hamilton, so I guess I'm not a professional. But yeah, he gets clowned on. Yeah. So like throughout the years, he's seen people like clown him and seen like the government system fall apart. And so like he goes to see Hamilton live. Which I think is funny because he's a vampire.
Yeah, and doesn't like, watch on Disney Plus.
He's
or whatever.
Like, oh, let me, you know, see that. Which, by the way, he lived through Hamilton.
Yeah.
So I don't know why he felt the need to like go
see
the Lin-Manuel Miranda show. You know,
go see someone portray him and rap about it or something.
He's so pissed about his representation in Hamilton that he's like, I'm gonna fucking take over the world.
I mean, that's like his legacy, you know.
I guess, but like, they also said at one point, like, Daddy Vampire. Sangster Sr. said that John Adams was patient zero, which he clearly is not because he was turned into a vampire here.
Wow. Yeah, I guess like in America he is.
Maybe. Also, he was just given this book. Why him? The book lets you do magic. That's what that book is. We find that out later.
It teaches you how.
Teaches you how, but it's in hieroglyph.
Yeah. And no one knows how to translate somehow.
So he doesn't really do anything with it. He's just like, I got this book. I don't know.
And then he bites his wife or something.
Well, she gets turned into a vampire as well, but there's this really...
All right, first of all, why is Abigail Adams so bad?
Dude, she is a hell milf. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts.
It's she can be a succubus for me if she wants to. Yeah, she's bad.
You can drink my blood.
I volunteer. I really like this page where we see John Adams like walking through time periods and how his look changes.
Yeah, super dope.
Yeah, so you can see initially when he is turned into a vampire, he does not have the goatee. Mm-hmm. So clearly when he's walking through time, he's still able to grow hair, which is good.
And where he gets his drip.
Yeah, at one point he had the bowler hat. You know, that's when the stock market crashes. Classic. When the Wright brothers are a thing. And then there's this like last panel, and it's really weird to just see Obama and Trump in like the same like panel.
Yeah, it's just representing
like
this
modern
decade,
era,
yeah.
Which is cool, you know. But I was like, okay, cool. You just don't see it, so I think it's interesting to point out.
There's like an John Adams like TV show on like Stars or something, and it's just called Adams, I think. And
why
John Adams? I don't know. It was played by Paul Giamatti. So anyone who's not Paul Giamatti, I just assume doesn't look like John Adams.
Yeah,
because that's like my placement, you
that's
know,
your reference,
because they have like paintings and stuff, but they all look different.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, Paul Giamatti is the only consistent one. Yeah, so the fact that this guy doesn't look like Paul Giamatti is a little disappointing.
You're like, don't believe it.
Yeah, I'm like, this can't be him. It's an imposter.
Yeah. So John Adams explains how he faked his own death because he's a vampire. He lives forever, so he has to do that. And how his wife Abigail was also turned into a vampire.
They're still able to have kids who were not vampires.
I think they had kids before that point.
Maybe.
I could be wrong, but they would later have an open relationship and build their vampire army with both the rich and poor. But Abigail's strategy for doing this is having sex with people and then biting them.
Hmm, that works.
Which, yeah, it does work out for her. But yeah, just that whole aspect of it, I'm like, what is this?
And like, so he fakes his death and then goes into like a grave.
Correct.
Like, how long is he chilling in there?
I think he just makes the grave. I don't think he actually chills in there, does he?
I assume he was put in there. to make it believable.
Maybe. But what is interesting is that it was through this comic that I found out that John Adam actually died on 4th of July.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to see
that. It's like the 50th anniversary or something.
Yeah. And it's interesting to see that in this story, John Adams. I Googled
that shit to make sure.
Yeah, I did too. And I was like, is that for real? And so it's interesting that he weaved that into the story. And like, John Adams was like, this is the most poetic day for me to die. And
yeah, but he actually just died.
That's just like the weirdest coincidence, like in the world.
Maybe that's why he chose John Adams in this for this book.
They explain why in the back matter.
Okay.
But yeah, lots of nudity this issue. Love that.
So think about it. If John Adams was like a vampire, right, since his presidency, do you think like he was targeted by Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter?
That would be sick.
Yeah. Do you remember that movie?
Yeah.
The director of that movie is the same director from like Wanted.
Whoa.
I found that little connection. I'm like, weird.
I don't know what it means.
Yeah.
But there's something there.
So obviously it's a great movie probably.
There's a code that we have to crack.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of nudity in this issue. That's interesting.
So
like the vampires are like naked sometimes when they're just hanging out.
If you're not a part of like that brotherhood or whatever that John Adams has, you're basically naked. Yeah.
Yeah. There is like a class system with the vampires that's not fully fleshed out, I feel.
What's bizarre is like Sangster Sr. goes to Hell Hall, just walks into a room, and then some vampires walk by him. He's like, sup.
It looks like they were just done fucking.
You think they went in this little like?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that's what the intention was. But so, it is a guy and a girl, and they're like, "Hey."
So something that I bring up every time Sarah's watching Twilight is like, how does Edward get hard?
Pump
in order to make a baby? Can you go from nothing to something with a pump?
Sure. Fill it up there.
Because like, there's no blood in his body,
like a back tire. I don't know.
It's like installed. It's got like one of those like little like
yeah, kss, kss,
kss. Yeah, kss. like he's taking blood pressure,
like Austin Powers. And he's like holding up the thing. You don't remember that in Austin Powers? He has like a dick pump.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. And then he's like, hold on. And he's like, kss,
kss, kss, kss. Oh, I thought it was like a bike pump or something.
That's also an option. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's you're not supposed to think about it too hard. Because, yeah, the idea is, like, your heart is... Well, no, their heart is going, actually. Because in this book, Josie was like, your heart's going, but it's not beating normally. Like, it's not rhythmic.
Yeah, it's like almost like an instinctual kind of thing, not like a regular thing.
Yeah, it's not like a regular rhythm. So
it just knows it's supposed to beat, kind of.
Yeah.
But it's not
So there is a...
Every time it's pumping, it's not pushing blood through the rest of the body.
It's just pumping, I guess. Well, if it's pumping, it is.
Pumping air. I guess.
No, they have blood.
I don't think they have blood because it's drained when they die.
You see them get fucking stabbed and shit, and there's blood that comes out of them.
Mm, that's valid.
So yeah, they can get hard. Confirmed.
Okay. Not Edward, though.
What's weird is that John Adams is a cuck.
He is a cuck, but like, you know...
So maybe that's why he's a villain. Just an incel?
Marriage is probably hard. I'm in one right now. So far, so good. But like...
But if you had to...
30 years down the line, it might get harder.
If you had to deal with her for... 400 years or whatever?
400 years, next level. I think you just kind of got to suck it up.
Yeah.
And it's tough out here for John Adams. He's bald, you know? That's it. Yeah, he's just bald. That's
the only thing going
wrong. That's his crutch, right? Or that's his handicap right now.
Yeah. Issue 4.
Oh, Dad wants to die too. He's just like, he like doesn't like that he is like this undead thing.
Oh, yeah.
And that was sad, like a little character to him. Like he even thinks about like going into the sun.
Yeah, he ponders getting burnt and then he's like, nah, I should probably help.
Yeah.
And then he goes back inside. Issue 4. This one's like pretty simple. So I just kind of summarize it all at once. But
sure.
The vampire outbreak starts off pretty strong because they like take out the police. You know, the mayor's corrupt. So like John Adams and the mayor collaborated and kind of helped out with this, but Sangster Jr. and Josie run into a few and they drive off to go back home to Sangster Sr. And he's like, I need more blood. Tevin, who was helping with the vampire outbreak, doesn't believe in like the New World Order or whatever. So he goes to help the Sangsters. And then Josie and Jimmy start making out because they were bonding over their parents' death. And that's pretty much everything that happens to this issue.
Yeah. There's like a big outbreak at like, what is this, like City Hall or some shit?
Yeah. City Hall, like some police stations they go to.
Yeah, and they were just like, they just burst out of here. Mm-hmm. And then goes crazy. And they're able to outrun these vampires and get in their car and go see Dad.
Yeah, so really they're not that freaky. But I do like the big action beats that he creates. Like there's this one where the vampires are like in the subway.
Yeah,
that's the prime place cool. to get people. You're not going anywhere, you know?
Yeah, and so, just, yeah, the subway.
Yeah, that's like the perfect crime, perfect yeah. way to do it. This relationship kind of springing out of nowhere felt a little bit weird.
No, this was definitely weird. I'm like,
you, I don't know. Something about that doesn't really feel right. Cause like,
I almost like assumed that there was something there with like his dad.
Yeah. If anything, it would be with the dad.
I couldn't really figure out like how old Josie was, but I guess it's just strictly professional.
Yeah.
And I didn't even think like, oh, they might be a similar age and this might be a thing. Yeah. Yeah. No.
So that's one of the art or the writing things where I'm like, what is this?
Yeah, a little out of nowhere. Maybe if there was like hints of this chemistry before, it'd be fine.
No, but literally it's like over the course of like two pages, they're like, yeah, my mom like died of cancer. And then Josie's like, yeah, my parents were hit by a drunk driver and then they died and then they like make out. So it's like very strange.
Yeah.
So also this dude, Tevin, is like, yeah, I don't like this new system John Adams is going to do. I'd prefer that there's just no rules and total anarchy. And I'm like, this is your big plan? Like, that can't be much better.
That wasn't really like his plan, but he's saying like,
everyone that would be better,
you know?
Yeah, I guess. But
there's a bit where the dad's like hungry and like his vision is like blurring warped, a little
yeah,
bit
I
to,
like that
to show that he's kind of like, I don't know, hallucinating or whatever, mm-hmm. which is kind of a fun addition.
Yeah. Also where the scene where Junior and Josie are like running, like I really like seeing how Jason Sean Alexander like produces fear. I think he's really good at nailing that like in the face and stuff as they're running away.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's some speed lines too.
Yeah, he's really good at like the character acting, and especially with like the dad as well, when he's like, I'm hungry, he's got like this, you know, very explicit facial expression,
right?
Very good, very good. And John Adams has like this bodyguard team. They're so gimmicky.
Yeah, this was a little odd that like they're like, I don't know, the gangster vampires kind of thing.
One
just
of them
like,
has a fucking green top hat,
and he's called Top, Nathan.
What the fuck is that?
They refer to him, and he is Top because he's the guy with the top hat.
He's lame.
This woman with the fro. Name's probably Fro.
Man with the mohawk, name's probably Mo.
I'd like that.
No, okay, I would like that. But Top, that's lame.
Yeah, so. It's kind of weird.
Because
there's what is Thanos' thing? His like crew of Thanos' Black Order?
Black Order, yeah.
Yeah, so they're like the Black Order of, you know, John Adams' like vampires. And then,
listen to that, say that sentence again.
No.
This guy with the green top hat is part of the Black Order to John Adams as a vampire. That's what the sentence you just said.
Yeah.
And you're telling me this is a
vampire
book.
Black Order to John Adams. And then there's also like just like the, I don't know, like the newer vampires, I'm assuming, because they're all naked and like in the morgue and stuff.
I think those are like the feral ones.
It's kind of like the
poor.
Not even. It's like in like Twilight, that like the newer vampires, they're like more unhinged and like not like in control.
But then why wouldn't
and can't you
dad
know
vampire
have
be
style kind of thing?
Why wouldn't dad vampire be that then?
That's fair.
See, never mind. There's parts of it that like,
well, I don't know, and so my predictions can be incorrect.
Yeah. It can. But the fact, you know, I'm not saying that you need to go super deep into Wild. It doesn't really matter ultimately, but it's like very interesting how Sangster Senior is like, he feels like such a big outlier and without a big explanation, really.
But I think I'd prefer them to be like, to dress like a little goofy than to like just be people in like suits and stuff and like not be hard to point out.
The goofy goes too goofy though.
Yeah, I agree. But I can't imagine these guys last like the next 30 issues.
I think they do. I think that's why they're here.
Maybe.
I can't imagine this is all we see of them, because that would be ridiculous.
Perhaps. So
also the issue ends where it's like John Adams, he's like, I'm I'm him, you know, I'm the one that did all this, right?
Yeah, I think he's saving mankind.
He thinks he's saving mankind, and he's like, all these people fucking made fun of me, you know? And he's like, but I don't think like anyone really ever made fun of John Adams, but he seems to think so.
Hamilton
But
did.
This last page says like...
He saw Hamilton. He has
proof. I know, he saw Hamilton, but that's like literally it.
Yeah.
If Lin-Manuel Miranda is the reason that existence like died to vampires, that's not like a great reason, but...
That's a lot on that guy's shoulders, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of blood in that guy's hands. I think
he's a good... Yeah. So then does that mean like someone's pressed by someone's representation in The Heights? That next movie that he made, I think?
I don't know.
But yeah, there's the last line he says, the one they once mocked will be the one that set them free. And I'm like, get over it.
You've had
400 years to get over it. It's not that big of a deal.
In order for Tevin and like Dad to... feed their hunger, they're just like sucking the blood out of rats.
Yeah,
which I thought was funny.
Yeah,
and really fucking gross.
Really gross, but at least it's not like people. Yeah, I guess it's like their way of being vegan. Yeah. Almost.
So what is this, the last issue? Issue five.
Yeah,
so spoilers in a way, because I'm telling you what's not gonna happen.
Okay,
like a very...
Just say it.
Something I thought was going to happen in a way, just because it's kind of a trope of vampire things. It might happen later in the book, but
okay.
I thought in like the next big battle thing, Josie or Junior were going to get hurt really badly. And the only way to save them would be like the dad turning them into vampires.
Hmm.
That did not happen.
That's and definitely a Twilight thing.
I think that gets points.
Okay. I like that.
And so... maybe it's a Twilight thing, maybe it's like all vampire things, I'm not sure.
Are all the people getting slaughtered in this big attack, are they turning into vampires?
It seems like a lot of them are getting like
just
their
killed.
Throats cut and shit.
And like eaten? Because we don't ever see that molester guy again.
Yeah.
Is that because he's eaten and the blood was drank?
That's so always like a tough
conscious,
one for me.
Is it a conscious decision to turn into a vampire, or is it like just zombies?
Yeah, because didn't... Yeah, because John Adams turns Tevin into a vampire by, like, sucking blood out of his arm.
Yes.
So I think if your, like, neck is, like, cut, your throat's cut, then you're probably going to not survive and, like, bleed out, you know?
But then it's like, how did Sangster Sr. turn into a vampire? Because I don't think any of those feral vampires were trying to turn him into a vampire.
Maybe it's just, like... they're not really killing people. It's just making more, like all of them.
I would have to assume that that's what it is, but there's a lot of dead people, it seems. So,
yeah.
So maybe if there's enough for you to come back alive, but then there's like everybody who's a vampire seems pretty intact. So it's unclear.
I would hope that they'd expand on that later, because I don't want so much exposition in the first volume.
Yeah, yeah.
To like... I feel like I get this whole world.
Yeah.
Like there needs to be some questions to kind of keep you going.
I agree.
And
yeah, it is a longer form story. So yeah, not everything needs to be covered here. So,
but I think this first volume is
gives you enough.
Relatively self-contained. You know, it feels like it ends and then there's also going to be more.
Yes. I will give him credit on that. It does feel like it could have just like ended here and you're like,
which is super satisfying for us.
Yeah.
You know,
cause it, at the end of this, it feels like the end of, I Am Legend almost.
Sure.
Where it's like, you could probably make a second movie if you wanted to, but pretty good that it ended there as well. But
right.
So issue five, it's the morning after the first night of the attack. So the vampires leave. They still can't, you know, be in the sun.
A third of the Philadelphia's population was killed.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of fucking people. That's like millions of people.
And then the press is like, what the fuck was that? And the corrupt mayor's like, we don't know enough information yet. I don't know what it is, but I know it's not vampires because that's crazy. That's what he says. So this is the page where I think Jason Sean Alexander goes way crazy hard for somebody that's like...
The double page spread, dude.
The double page spread here.
So fucking hard, dude.
Where it's like this like angelic imagery and like hell pulling him in like different directions. And it's like a reference to him when he was in the coffin. Just some of the most unbelievably... detailed and just fun to look at art ever, and the dialogue is like, I didn't know shit. Like,
yeah,
you know.
And I think it's like kind of a conscience kind of thing as well.
Yeah,
also maybe representative of like him being in purgatory, you know.
Yeah,
not kind of, this is in between his life and death.
Yeah,
you know, because it's just moving on. He's not neither going to heaven nor hell.
100%. Yeah.
And so just like the meaning in this and then also how fucking cool it looks, this could be like really up there for like best double page spreads like all time.
Yeah. I think that this page explains a lot more about this character than like a lot of what the story is. So
yeah, it's pretty cool. It almost feels like you don't think about like what he's going through that much, mm-hmm. except for with him wanting to die earlier.
Yeah.
But because like from what we've seen, it seems like he's just kind of still working. Mm-hmm. You know, he's still trying to help. He's stop just doing some vampires.
Doing a detective
thing. He's like doing some chores. He's like, I gotta kill these guys.
Yeah.
Just want to sit down or whatever.
Tevin reveals that he got that one random book from John Adams. John Adams selected him for whatever reason.
Yeah.
To hang on to this book that controls reality, or it has the mysteries of reality. But he gives it to him because he doesn't want his wife to get it.
Yeah.
Which is a weird reason. But he also doesn't think that Tevin will decode it because he's tried to have people decode it. But anyway.
And he's got like basically light, Tevin light reveals
that he has, after 10 years of studying it, he just knows magic pretty much.
Yeah, he gets these weird light powers.
No, it's like, I think it's magic.
And I think it's like unlocking something that you didn't really know you had. Because like, I don't know if like the book's magic, but it can teach you how to use magic in a way.
Right. Yeah, that's what I mean.
It's like a like vampire Tevin knows magic how to for dummies, you know?
Yeah, Tevin knows how to do magic now. And apparently one of the magic things that he can do is just turn people back into humans.
Tevin can do that?
Yes.
I thought that was Seesaw.
Seesaw's Tevin.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh.
Which is not very well explained because cool they call name. Him Seesaw one time.
I read it twice.
The name Seesaw?
Yeah.
Well, they explain that Seesaw is Tevin once in the very beginning of the book before you even meet Tevin, in fact.
Yeah, because like there was that guy who could do that. I assume Seesaw, and then like this Black Order like goes towards, and they're like they're gonna stop Seesaw, but then it's just the crew that we've been following,
mm-hmm.
the Sangsters, Josie and Tevin. So yeah. I'm like, I just kept reading and like I forgot how that was left open,
which is easy to do that because it's not.
Yeah, that's very pretty clear. Cool power though,
which is like you don't explain this before. Why wouldn't you change the dad back into a vampire? You know, why wouldn't you let him know that he could do that? There's a lot of questions that lends itself to just in and of itself. Why doesn't he turn himself back into a human?
Yeah.
Which I could see why he would keep himself a vampire if he's solely trying to get other vampires back into humans. But basically we figured that out because that little girl, Brittany, has a human sister who used to be a vampire, but was turned back into human by Tevin. But Brittany doesn't want to do that.
Yeah, because like they were about the same age when they returned
400 years ago when they were slaves.
But now she's back and her sister's like older than her physically.
Which is, that's an interesting scenario, which is why I like Brittany, because she also like has this whole.
She doesn't even seem like a bad guy.
No, she seems great. She has this whole like few page sequence where she's like fucking up some cops. And there's like a panel where she like rips a guy's head off and like the blood pours on her, which is like wild. I just like that sequence a lot. But so Sangster Jr. gets his dad's like lieutenant to meet him and he's like, wow, this is crazy. And then they have this plan on burning like the big vampire nests while Sangster Sr. and Tevin go after Adam so that there's no leader. And that's like their general plan. If they do the big nests, most of the numbers will be down. And then if they kill John Adams, they won't have a leader.
Mm-hmm.
And then over the course of like two or three pages, Sangster Sr. and Jr. squashed the like lifelong beef that they've had. So that's nice.
Yeah.
Because they really try and force the fact that they don't have a good relationship.
Yeah, but they don't explain that too much.
They do.
I mean, I like, say. They do, but, like, it...
They explain it enough. And it I'm like, okay, they don't have a good relationship. And I'm like, okay, I can accept that. And then over, like, two pages, their conversation goes from being a bad parent to vampire dad who's about to turn his son into a vampire to actually we're chill with each other now. And we're both good people in our core. So...
Maybe because his dad died, he's, like, a little just... able to forget.
It was just very fascinating. Like, okay, that's it. You know, so that's...
I like the analogy that dad gives his son where he's like, you remember the Looney Tunes cartoons where like they're on the deserted island and they start looking like food to each other.
Yeah.
And he's like, you look like soup.
I do like that page. I'm like, that's a good analogy.
He's like, oh, he's like, you look like tomato soup, you know, because
he starts like floating towards him. like it's pie on the windowsill.
You like smell it.
Yeah. So yeah, that was that issue pretty much. And yeah, so I liked Britney stuff. And I like her situation with like her sister and like the dilemma there. It just seems weird that there's one guy that knows how to turn people back into vampires. And it's not really explored too much, at least here. But they have something else on their mind, I guess.
You think if you turn someone back, they would like just crumble into dust or something?
Yeah, because you're 400 years old.
Not just like continue, like being a vampire just paused your life, you know, or you're aging.
That's exactly what happens, yeah, in this. That's like how it works, but who knows.
But I think that makes it more interesting, you know, makes Brittany's character more interesting.
Yeah. So issue 6.
Tevin has more superpowers. He can freeze vampires, like, you know, where they stand.
Fucking Sub-Zero.
And also, like, blow them up or something? Or no, he just
shoots them.
He betrays, like, light or something, and that burns them. So maybe UV rays or whatever?
He must emit UV rays, because...
That's what hurts.
Yeah, because it can't be lights, because there's, like, street lights and shit. So that must be specifically what it is. But, yeah. Yeah, John Adams' gimmicky vampire squad tries ambushing the good guys. Tevin freezes them. And then hits them with that blast. But then he like freezes them and then says that he wants to wait for the sun to kill them. So he doesn't finish the job.
Yeah, he like blows off their legs or something somehow.
He blows off their legs and he's like, the sun will get him. Obviously, they won't be dead. Just kill him right there. You've killed so many people probably at this point.
So they didn't die there.
We don't see them die because Tevin says when the sun comes up and he's burning slow, he'll realize how dirty he did Philly. Cool line, but just kill him.
Because
this is just a corny way for them to be like, but we survived actually, you know?
Yeah, I guess if you look at it to where like maybe they don't die, it could be seen as corny. But if you think like, oh, these murderers are getting what they deserve and
then watch
are going to like suffer. He's got to help. There's millions of other vampires.
It's not that hard. He's a guy with a green hat. He doesn't have much to live for anyway.
I don't know why this bothers you so much.
It does. It's dumb. You're asking for him to just come back later and be like, actually, I'm alive still.
John Adams dies in this issue, right? They kill him. They stop him. And so I'm hard-pressed to see, like, how this keeps going. Like, his wife doesn't die. And so that'll be, like, the next villain, the next arc
over.
Or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be hard for her to, like, carry the rest of it as the big bad when it's, like, two against one, you know? And so I'm willing to like suspend my disbelief that, you know, this is lazy writing or something and just be like, okay, the bad crew is still alive with Abigail Adams, you know?
I think that's clearly what they're like alluding to what's going to happen, or maybe like not very clearly. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to let them die slowly. But it's, to me, it's clear that they will pretty obviously show up at some other point.
I what I realized today is I don't like look at things and then just wonder why.
I don't typically either.
I just kind
either.
Of like, I'll experience things and just kind of let it flow and see how I feel.
I don't typically either, but this seems like big enough of a weird decision for me to be like, if I was Tevin, I would kill him. If I was Tevin and I had magic powers and this dude doesn't want to be a vampire, I'd be like, hey, I got this funny little trick that I can do where I can turn you back into a human if you want.
Sure.
You know? So there's random things that are like, I like the overall idea of this book, I think is pretty strong, but then there's like little things sprinkled in here where I'm like, this is just weird. And why is this a thing? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the parts of it that like bothers me. And I'm just glad that Jason Sean Alexander is here to make it look pretty at least.
Sure.
So Tevin and Vampire Sangster come face to face with John Adams. Tevin and John Adams have like a magic battle, because I guess John Adams kind of knows magic, but not full magic.
Yeah, he knows like some of it.
He said that his scientists scratched the surface, but Tevin figured it out all by himself.
Yeah,
because he had 10 years with it. So Sangster hits John Adams with a spike from behind, and then Tevin makes a speech about how the times have changed and life is precious or whatever, and then Adams is killed in the daylight. So
and they killed the mayor too. Did you say that?
Yeah, Abigail kills the corrupt mayor dude.
Yeah.
But he's not super important.
This panel with like the vampires like crawling on the walls is pretty cool.
Yeah, that one's cool.
Even though they can fly, or some of them can fly.
I think only Tevin can fly because he knows magic. But then
Brittany can fly.
Maybe she knows magic too. Because no one else flies. It's very clear because they're climbing up the wall here.
Just because people aren't flying doesn't mean they can't fly.
But how do they hang upside down?
It's like, just because I don't dance doesn't mean I can't dance.
Is that a High School Musical reference?
It should be. But no, everyone in that fucking movie dances. Yeah. Well,
he has a song where about how he doesn't dance.
Does he?
In the second movie. On the baseball field. You don't remember?
No.
Oh, it's one of the best songs.
He's on a baseball field in the second one?
They're playing baseball and they're arguing about whether he should play basketball.
The one where like it's their summer vacation and they work on this like golf resort?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's the second movie. I could be wrong. Let me know in the comments.
If you have a problem with what Nathan just said, please let us know.
Please correct me. If I'm wrong, I will watch all the movies.
Even the ones that don't have the same characters.
Not
because there's
okay, I will watch first three.
Alright, valid. That first one bangs too hard.
It's pretty good.
I was like looking back, I'm like, this is a good song.
It's pretty good.
Dude, Corbin Blue, dude.
There was a drinking game I tried playing with that one time. And there's a rule to drink every time they say Wildcats, which massive mistake. Because it's like first 5 minutes, you're drinking 20 times.
You passed out like a half hour in.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. That's why I don't remember the ending.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You puked in act two.
They allude to John Adams being responsible for every president assassination, which is kind of crazy.
I don't think that's what happened.
Let me read to you what he says.
Thanks.
Lincoln, Kennedy, both met their demise at the hands of those who could not see.
Yeah, means they were assassinated by those who could not see, like what they were trying to do.
Why is he bringing that up? He would only bring that up if he was like, yeah, I fucking did it.
Because he's like, oh yeah, I'm like them, I'm being assassinated right now.
Well, he could see Tevin.
But Tevin cannot see him.
I'm pretty sure that's what they're alluding to.
Adams did not do that.
What else? Abigail Adams is leader of the vampires now, and the Sangsters have a nice last hug before Sangster Sr. is just buried again.
Why wouldn't Tevin just turn him back?
Exactly, Daniel. Now, also, if you're going back into the coffin, you're just going to be hungry.
Yeah, it's like, what, he's just going to chill there?
Yeah. Like, I could understand, like, if Tevin's like, I could turn you back into a human, but because of some weird other rule, you're going to die. If that was the case, that would even be better. Even if it, like, changes the rules of how his magic works or whatever, like, he's just gonna be chilling in that coffin, do nothing. So it's just really weird. And then Sangster Jr.
Yeah, why wouldn't he just chill at his house?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
There's way more shit to do.
Also, Josie gets blood all the time. So you could just hang out in there and drink blood.
Yeah.
Just hang out in the refrigeration unit or something. I don't know. Sangster Jr., though, is like, I'm going to go clean up the rest of the vampires in Philadelphia. And then the book ends.
Is this corny, Nathan? John Adams is burning and he's got a stake through his chest. And Sangster Sr., dad, he says, Mr. President, you have the right to remain silent, and puts him in handcuffs.
What does he handcuff him to something? No, he's just dead on the floor.
Yeah, he's just handcuffed and he wasn't going to make it anyway, but I guess like that slowed him down or something. I don't know. Is it cheesy like what he said?
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
Well, he also was kind of telling him in a nice way to shut up because he was just rambling pages before that.
Yeah, good point.
So I say it's all right.
I was just like, whatever. But it seems weird that he didn't handcuff him like the handrail or something.
Yeah.
So is the whole city on fire or is that like all the vampires burning? What is that?
Not the whole city, but a lot of it.
A lot of it. Okay.
It may seem like they were like, they like nuked some buildings like Hell Hall or something.
Oh, yeah. They did burn those buildings.
Because they had like
the helicopter
drop some shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what's burning.
That's what's burning. Yep. You're right. Yeah. That's the book. I think he overcooks a little bit.
I think overcooking made it more interesting. Sometimes you like your quesadilla to be a little crispy, you know? me personally, I like a real dark grilled cheese. I like my toast extra burnt, you know?
Sure.
So.
I like the quality of cheese. Is that how we're rating this book as grilled cheese?
No.
Seems to work.
But let's get into Back Matter Matters.
Yep. Okay.
Back Matter Matters.
So we have an afterword from Rodney Barnes,
the writer. I'm surprised you read these, because I look at that. Sometimes. I'm like, mm-mm.
Okay, the reason I would have skipped this one, I think.
But you didn't.
One of the bold headers is why John Adams? And I'm like, gotta hear this. Let me tell you. But as I watched a number of vampire movies and read a bunch of books, I soon learned that a number of other writers had that math to their vampire theme stories as well. He's talking about something else. So I needed a wild card. And on my sixth trip to the musical Hamilton, it hit me. John Adams. Now, a lot of folks have seen Hamilton.
Six times?
He's seen it six times.
Jesus.
And he actually chose John Adams because he's seen Hamilton. And so the fact that John Adams in the story goes to see Hamilton, he's like, fuck these guys. It seems very... It's an interesting inspiration.
What was his, like...
There's better reasonings, I think, in this that he explains. But, like, the fact that was actually a thing that happened, well, I think it's like, kind of funny.
Yeah, he chooses one and then writes around it.
Yeah, he does.
So, wait, what was John Adams, like, purpose? Like, what was he trying to do?
In Hamilton?
No, just, like, in this book.
Just create, like, a new world order of just vampires that he leads. That's it. He's saying he's trying to set people free, but there's not much that they're really suffering from, really.
If everyone's a vampire, then there's no one to drink.
Then no one's a vampire.
No.
Ooh. That's deep. That's also a good point. Whoa. If everyone's a vampire, what are you doing? How are you eating?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Rats, I guess?
More rats. Vampire rats?
Yeah, what's the end goal? I don't know. Whatever. Of all the founding fathers, John seemed to get the least amount of appreciation from historians. That's fair. So I guess that makes him a little bit more malleable. What if we were alive today to see the degree of criticisms he'd received? Not much. People don't really seem to have an opinion, I feel like. But what if he'd walked through time and watched America evolve from the idea of freedom, even though slavery existed in his day, to the polarized society we currently call home? That part's interesting because, you know, he's there from the creation of the Declaration of Independence in 1970 or whatever. No, I'm just kidding. 1776, I know. I just said 19 before.
Like during Vietnam or something.
And so, yeah. And then he talks about like where the Sangster story comes from or whatever. And then he gives thank yous. But yeah, I thought that was interesting.
For sure.
Then we have a cover gallery with some Jason Sean Alexander covers. And these are so good.
Covers are kick-ass in this.
The covers are pretty fucking unbelievable.
I also the like
range
the,
of this dude is great.
I also like the trade design.
Trade dress is
trade
nice.
Trade dress is fun. Not just like the cover and shit, but like the shit in between, like the first couple
oh, yeah,
pages,
yeah.
Things mm-hmm. like that.
There is...
Are there any variants?
Variants, yep. We got Jim Mahfood does one. Matteo Scalera does one. I think he does a pretty good job. He does a Britney cover. Eric Canet does one. We have a Neil Adams, the late and great Neil Adams does one. We got a Jay Lee cover.
Dude, they have the fucking names way too small. I have to like zoom in.
Yeah, you do have to zoom in. I like the Jay Lee cover. That one's pretty good.
Oh yeah, that's hard.
Mm-hmm. And then like some process pages, which I think are really, really good because I'm really interested in this dude's like design process. He talks about it in depth, which is cool.
These look like what my final pencils would be.
Yeah, his thumbnail is very loose, which I can appreciate because he's just like very clearly just like getting something very rough down. And then he shows pictures of the references that he uses and the people that he hires to be references. And he's got like professionals doing the shit, so he must be like pretty expensive as far as like an
this
artist
first
goes.
One, this dude's got his dogs out.
Yeah, he does. Oh my God, I didn't even notice. And so there's just like really cool reference pages, and he gives an example of like how he would like layer a couple couple things on top of each other, some color process and some lettering process. And he gives a big old shout out to the colors and letterers doing a really good job. And I agree. Coloring is very strong in this book.
Did they name any of the models or no?
I think so. I think he just says that they're...
Because the fact that the dad is not
models.
Joe Morton is crazy to me.
I mean, maybe. He just said that they're models and they're an amazing group of expensive, talented people. So, and then we have creator bios. So, but Jason Sean Alexander has done quite a bit, actually. His series Empty Zone garnered critical acclaim. Among his list of credits, he is co-writer and artist of Spawn and has contributed his art to Hellboy, ooh, Ape Sapien, Batman, Superman, The Escapist, The Shadow, The Secret, Frostbite, 30 Days of Night, Queen and Country, and a couple more. Marvel Zombies is one, I guess. I'd love to read his Marvel Zombies if he did art.
Dude, his Hellboy probably goes hard.
Dude, yeah. So I want to hunt those down. And that was it. What would you rate this book, Daniel?
So the most interesting way I thought to rate it would be if we think of like the hierarchy of vampire movies, right? You know, Twilight being at the bottom, I would say it's like a 30 Days of Night, which is works since Sean Alexander worked on 30 Days of Night.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very fitting that it'd be about that.
Okay.
IMDb has like a list of like top 150 like vampire movies. And guess where 30 Days of Night lands?
30.
No.
Two?
42.
Whoa. That seems low.
Yeah. It was like one of those dumb things where it's like, oh, the old ones are like super high. Like Nosferatu is like number one, you know?
That's lame. Hate that.
Yeah. Like Underworld was higher than like 30 Days of Night. But what are you rating, Nathan? Let's hear it. Do you give it an eclipse?
I think it's like a
Breaking Dawn Part 1.
Am I rating it based off a vampire movie?
No, I'm just kidding. You can do what you want.
I think it's like a... Isn't like... Is Philadelphia famous for like a food? Like cheesesteak or something?
Philly cheesesteaks, yeah.
Okay, I'd rate it... What are the Forefathers? Oh, Forefathers Philly cheesesteak.
Dude, so good.
Oh, okay.
Have you been there?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, so good.
I would give it like a... What are their regular sizes, I guess?
Okay.
But it looks so delicious. And then you eat it and you're like, wow, they really overcooked the meat. But still pretty good. And you're like, I eat it and I'm like, okay.
I figured you're going to rate it like a Charlie's or something.
What is that?
It's like the McDonald's of like Philly cheesesteaks, I guess.
Hmm. Forefathers isn't like a sit-down restaurant by any means either.
No, but like I feel like that's probably the best case scenario as far as getting cheesesteaks. It's not like there's going to be some fancy Philly cheesesteaks restaurant, you know?
We should do that. Like you serve wine. I feel like
we don't have the right to, you know?
No, we can. Like we serve red wine. Like fucking button up waiters and shit. And then you just get this messy ass Philly cheesesteak.
Yeah. So that's a nicer rating than I thought you were going to give it, because it seemed like you really didn't like it.
I didn't.
Like, starting off. Do you like it more now that we talked about it a little bit?
It was kind of fun to talk about.
Yeah. I think.
Because at least there's that, you know. But I wasn't like...
I wish all of our episodes we were very, like, decisive about polarized. It. Yeah, we're like, opposite ends.
Yeah, because, like, there's parts of this where I'm like, this is just too much. You know? But, like... I don't hate it because it's hard to hate. Like looking at it visually, it's great.
Yeah.
There's good ideas. I think there's good themes, you know, behind it. And like what he's trying to say, like the system's broken, you know, stuff like that.
So is Rodney Barnes like a comic writer? Like, has he done this before?
Not typically.
Is this like kind of his first thing?
I don't think it's his first thing.
It's a pretty good first comic if it is.
No, I think he...
So perhaps maybe it was just like... A little rough around the edges when it comes to like his first script, and like maybe he tried to, like you were saying, do a little bit too much in the first volume.
He's done Lion Forge's Quincredible, a comic. Uh-huh. He did Star Wars Lando Double or Nothing, as well as Falcon and Secret Empire Birth of a Patriot for Marvel Comics.
So, are we getting a negative reviews, Nathan? Some people that see what you see.
I don't think people will see what I see. I think
correct. There's none.
There's no bad reviews.
Yeah, they're all 4 or 5 stars.
Really?
Yeah. There's not as
I'm glad people like it.
There's not as many as what are we reading? Immortal Hulk. Like not as many reviews.
People are very passionate about Hulk.
For some reason. Yeah. So this, I think, for the most part, well regarded. Even the Eisners think so.
No bad reviews, huh?
Yeah,
terrible quality book. Book fell apart as I read it. Oh, that's
okay, other than binding issues.
Seems like you should have thought about that, Rodney Barnes.
Why don't you stop it?
Oh, wait. Book fell apart as I read it. Pages just loosely placed in. Not a very interesting story either. Let's go. Me and Guardians. There's a D at the end of Guardians. That's all we got.
All right.
I'm glad people liked it.
Yeah.
You know, if this is your thing, this is your thing. But I think vampires... are hard for me to get into in general, but that's not the problem I had with this book.
I think so far.
Which is a good thing. The fact that, you know, I'm on board with vampire stuff and I wanted to see more is good.
Yeah, so it almost like changed you a little bit because you've never
stop trying.
You've never been down for vampires.
Not really, yeah.
I think so far this is probably like the most successful version of like vampires in comics that I've read.
Personally. I would agree.
So far, good book. And so,
yeah, it's just weird that some of them can flow and some of them can do magic and some of them.
There's other ones that I own that I haven't finished, you know, like the Nightclub and Little Monsters and stuff like that. So,
yeah,
maybe those will be better, but.
Yeah, I will say, even though it is probably my favorite comic vampire, it's definitely the least consistent vampire across the different vampires, you know?
Sure.
Because there's very different feeling vampires.
But that can get boring if it's like just following the rules so much.
Yeah, maybe.
Anyway, let's get in the pull list. Colin.
Drop it in your box.
The pull list. What did you shove in your box?
What are you going to get?
I'm going to get, yeah, we are double recording, so we didn't actually get anything, but I'm going to get Gods, number one.
Yeah.
Finally, everybody's been waiting for it, I think. But actually, not really, because apparently the
low pre-orders
were very low, because no one really knows what it is, and there's very confusing marketing, because it had like the Gods tag on like that Uncanny Avengers thing, and it's like, is this what we're supposed to be reading? It hasn't been very good. I don't think it's like Jonathan Hickman's fault or anything, because I think it looks solid.
Yeah.
But the marketing has just been off. So I'm going to get that. Batman's going to come out.
138, I think.
Something like that. Shazam. Number four. I still need to read 3. And okay. I think I'll pick up 4, read that one, decide.
You might as well just go for the full arc.
Yeah, I guess.
I wouldn't.
I can give Wade more of that, I think.
Yeah.
Transformers.
Number one.
Fucking finally.
DWJ.
Dude, he posted a commission today of him doing a Colossus commission, and it's Colossus getting choked out by Juggernaut, and it's one of the coolest things I've ever seen him do. He's really nice. Good. So yeah, that's what I'm picking up.
I don't know how true this is, but I believe Clementine Book 2 comes out.
Maybe.
Can we confirm?
When did Clementine Book 1 come out?
I don't fucking know. Hold on.
I would be surprised if it came out, but if it does, I'm very excited.
October 3rd, yeah.
Whoa, really? That's so exciting.
Yeah, so get excited.
Wow, I feel like I just read that book. Hell yeah. That's awesome.
Hell yeah.
Good news. What are you trying to find?
Just like when the first one came out.
Oh.
June 2022.
Damn, those are like a lot of pages. So Tilly Walden's
28 or something like that.
That sounds right. Yeah, I think it was like a summer thing.
So like a year later. That's valid.
Well, when does Free Comic Book Day come out?
May.
It's like May. So it was like 2 months after that, I think. A month or two after that.
Yeah. Because
it was part of the previews for that year.
Dang. I mean, I guess I like was delayed on reading it. So it feels like it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, I made you read it and then you didn't like it as much as me. But that's fine.
Yeah, very good. But yeah.
I thought it was great.
So yeah. Gods, Clementine, Transformers, and Godzilla, Here There Be Dragons, number 4.
Exciting.
Very exciting.
I left some stuff from last episode that I will talk about.
Let's get into it.
I had a Mortal Kombat night
over the weekend. Yes.
And I watched the first Mortal Kombat movie. I think it's from like 96 or something.
Something like that.
Very fun movie to watch. We did a drinking game with it, and it was just like every time someone dies, you know, every time someone like poses right before a fight is a really fun one.
Mm. How many times do they say finish him?
A couple times.
Okay, that would be a good one, I'd say.
Yeah, anytime they say soul, like you do that. And like signature moves, so like the scorpion thing, like come over here, stuff like that. Mm. There's CGI, and it is so jarring to look at.
Yeah, isn't there like a monster thing that doesn't look very good? Like I think Lizard or something?
Yeah, Lizard is in the movie, and he looks nothing like his character does. He's actually like a lizard.
Yeah.
A CGI lizard that goes invisible or whatever. And then he inhabits like a dead body already and animates him into lizard.
Mm.
But then when he dies, it goes back into like a dead looking thing.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure how all that works.
I tried so hard to be like a lizard main because like no one was, you know, but it's really fucking hard.
It is very hard. Yeah. And so
you just spit at people. You know?
He could go invisible, which can be good. And then he's got like this big like a big ball thing that he shoots, and it goes kind of slow. So if you are really savvy, you can combo it there. But Was that Mortal Kombat 9, I think?
What? Where you could do that?
Where? Which one did you play?
Fucking...
I think it might have been 9, because it was when I was playing it too, right?
At that was when house? We like lived at home, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so that would have been 9. That's like my favorite one, I think. So yeah, watch that movie.
Did you play a new game?
I did, yeah. That was part of the Mortal Kombat night, is that we played the new game.
How's that?
Really fun, actually.
Did you get that DLC with the characters?
They are not available yet.
Oh, they're whack.
Just announcements, so... Which is fine. But yeah, there's fun new characters. They feel very fluid. And we had like 8 people in total that were there. And we were all just kind of like switching off. Yeah, I didn't lose a single time. I was electric. Okay. I was playing as my main, Kung Lao. He's great. He's
I feel like everyone who's like good at that game uses Kung Lao. So therefore, I just think it's absolutely Kung Lao. Absolutely not.
No, he's never been like a big main guy.
Is he the one with a hat?
He's the one... Raiden is the one with the hat.
Raiden, that's
the electric powers. That's probably who you're thinking of.
So you're just Kung the Lao one who is just the lamer fights.
Guy with the hat. Lamer he does have guy. A hat that has a blade on the that's inside. And you throw it. Yeah,
that's not also Raiden.
Raiden has a hat.
I think I've mixed those two characters.
He's got electricity powers.
Right.
He's like the main guy, dude. In Mortal Kombat, the movie.
Yeah.
They whitewash Raiden. He's a white guy.
I remember that.
That's fucking crazy to me. And he talks like he's. I think doing like an Asian accent, which is so weird.
Yeah.
Also, 90s, Goro is like a big puppet in that movie, which I thought was kind of cool. Because he looks better than the CGI, but he's still obviously a little bit weird because it's a 96 movie or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I played Kung Lao in Mortal Kombat 1. The game's very smooth. You know, part of the fun is just like looking at like the finishers or like the ults that you can do in the game where you like does like the X-ray moves and shit.
Yeah.
So that's pretty fun. But the game's good.
That's cool.
Didn't lose a single time, which was nice. I had some really close games against Parker.
Yeah, I figured he'd be like a sweat at it.
Yeah, we were both sweats on Mortal Kombat 9, the one that you played, and he would dick me down in that game. So it was really nice beating him like twice. It was a close game, and once he like practices, he'll obviously be better. But it was nice having that.
Dude, the thing that sucks about those games is that they're not really like interchangeable. For like the side scroller like fighting games, like you can't just like pick up Street Fighter and be good at it.
Yeah.
Like one of my friends like made me play Street Fighter with him. I just picked someone who looked cool, and then he picked this like girl who like kicks a lot.
Yeah.
And the combos were unstoppable.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, fuck this game. He just wanted to like wreck me at this.
Yeah. Street Fighter has a more robust like blocking system, I think, that you have to like time and know how to counter.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is like Mortal Kombat is way different from like Street Fighter, which is way different from like Marvel versus Capcom
or Injustice,
which is way different from like Super Smash Bros. Like those are all very different things.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because they're all just side scrolling fighting games.
I guess they should be different, but
like this. Yeah.
I don't like them because I'm not good at any of them, you know?
Yeah. I'm not really good at any of them either, but,
and they're kind of boring, you know? I feel like the timing, like whoever kind of like the timing is like the whole thing on like how you win.
Yeah. But I think if you main different characters and it's plausible to main different characters, like there's not clearly one meta person that's like the best.
Yeah.
That's where the variety, I think, becomes interesting. And that's why, like, Super Smash Bros. Melee on, like, the GameCube, I think, is, like, still an eSport today. Because they just, like, nailed the mechanics and, like, the variety. And, you know, there's, like, random mains that people don't normally play that will just, like, win random championships and stuff. So
That's,
like, still a thing that people follow.
For
which is cool. But, yeah, Mortal Kombat was fun. I also played Starfield. I'm a little late to, like, the hype train on this one. But... it's the same studio that made like Skyrim.
Yeah.
But they made Starfield, which is Skyrim, but in space pretty much.
Okay.
Which is really cool. And I'm enjoying it a lot. It's definitely going to be a long game, so I won't finish it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm enjoying it. So like you get your own ship, which you can customize and, you know, color and do stuff with like a really complicated ship modification system. Like someone made their ship look like the Millennium Falcon, like one for one.
Yeah,
it's pretty crazy.
That's crazy that it's that customizable.
Yeah, I started looking at it and I was like, I can't focus on this. But yeah, it's just one of those games where you can just kind of figure out, you know, how you want to be, if you want to be like a good guy or you can be like, you know, one of the thieves or like an assassin or something. Like there's storylines and like the side missions and stuff where you can join certain cults or groups or whatever. And so that's kind of fun because you have to like make those snap decisions and be like, well, I guess I'm part of the Trade Authority now, which is like this corrupt organization or whatever. So, but there's a flight dogfighting system, like a space combat, which is pretty fun. And it's all single player. There's no like multiplayer aspects to it.
Yeah.
And what's cool is that you can hijack like other ships and like onboard them and stuff and like kill people that way.
Nice.
And that part's fun. There's an Earth that you can go to, like our galaxy.
Did you go to your house?
Our universe is our galaxy is just one galaxy of multiple that you can go to, which I think is kind of fun.
What?
Yeah.
So you can go to Mars?
Yeah.
It's cool.
I've been to Mars. Yeah. I've been to our moon a couple times.
Can you go to the sun?
You can. Yeah. Probably.
You can fly through it.
You can fly through the different galaxies. Like you don't have to fast travel to them. Like if you really wanted to spend like 4 hours just flying to the next galaxy.
Fuck that.
Yeah. But like someone tested that and it's very interesting that that's a thing that you can do.
I wonder how accurate it is.
It's not. You can't just fly 4 hours to the next galaxy, Daniel. Unless you're going very fast.
Yeah. I'm like, if this ship is going fast enough, would you get to the next galaxy in four hours? Like, you know.
Mm-hmm. Also, a mechanic that I didn't realize is in the game is like when you enter a new solar system or a galaxy, whoever is like the police force or whatever will scan your ship.
The Green Lanterns.
Pretty much. That's like what it is. It's like a space force. And they scan your ship to make sure there's no contraband items on your ship. There's a small percentage that if you do have contraband items.
So there's a space TSA?
Pretty much, yeah.
Dang.
And there's a... You see like a percentage of whether
how illegal they will, you are.
No, there's like a percentage of how likely they are to find it.
Okay.
And I was doing a mission where I was like helping out a bartender with something and I had to go into like this storage unit to just get one thing. But I'm going to look at all of the things that are in the storage unit. Right. And so I picked up like mech parts or something and I'm like, ooh, this might be cool. Apparently that was contraband. And so I like fly to this next system and it was like, hey, we're going to scan your ship. Will you allow us to do that? And it saw like the game told me like I had contraband and there's like a 2% chance that they won't find it. So and so I'm like, I like those odds. And so I did it. They scanned me and they're like, yeah, we're going to have to bring you in. And so like I got pulled in and it was like, remember that scene in Guardians of the Galaxy where they were like, you're like introduced to like all the characters pretty much. And there's like Star-Lord doing the like the flip you off thing.
Yeah.
I felt like that. Like they were looking at me through like a glass thing and they're like evaluating
like
me.
Like a lineup or whatever. Yeah,
I thought it was very funny because I didn't realize that was a mechanic in the game. And I was like, fuck it. Let's run it.
You're to space jail.
Yeah. And they took my stuff. But
that's pretty sick.
Yeah. It's really
concept
fun.
Concept is great. I've never put the time into
it. It's a lot to commit to for sure. Yeah. So, and then I played Payday 3.
Okay.
Which is a heist game.
No, it's a candy bar.
It's a candy bar.
Lots of peanuts.
good top five candy bar for me.
It is pretty good. Sarah's been getting a lot. Freezing them. Crazy. Ooh, good.
Yeah, that is pretty good.
Yeah.
Good choice.
That's like her random thing. She'll actually get one of those on like a payday, you know?
Yeah, it's like a heist game. It's pretty much like all it is. Like you can get a group of friends and there's different heists that you can do. One of them's like a jewelry store. One of them's just like hijacking a bank, you know, stuff like that. And there's different situations and you can do them like really stealthy without alerting, you know, any cops or a SWAT team or anything. But that's really hard to do. And so most of the time you fuck it up and you just have to shoot your way out anyway, which is very fun. But there is one mission that we did where we had to hack somebody's crypto wallet and it was all in this like big club. And so it's just.
Just like get close enough to him to like scan his phone or something.
Mm-hmm. And that was like our third mission that we played. And so we had leveled up enough. I'm like the hacker guy, so I can hack cameras so that they don't like see us, which is kind of fun.
Oh, neat.
And it was really funny because Parker was off on the other side of the club and he's putting in work. Like he's taking hostages. He's like stealing cocaine because there's like side things that you can do to get more money.
Yeah.
And so we're like stealing these bags of cocaine and stuff to like sell ourselves. And he's like gathered like five bags of cocaine. He's got like six hostages and stuff. Meanwhile, the rest of us are like, so how do we get like the blue key card? And we're like, we're like on the other side trying to figure out. And they're like, hey, Nathan, hack this camera. I'm like, okay. I'm like, okay, now you can move. And he's just putting in work on like the other side all by himself. And it's very fun. So good game.
This is pretty good.
Yeah.
I love the heist things.
The soundtrack is unbelievable.
What's on there?
It's like EDM stuff, but it sounds like you're in like a John Wick movie or something.
Oh, nice.
Like it's that level of like EDM action. I was actually like running to it like this week. That's how good it is. So it bangs.
You were running to the EDM music?
I was like...
Or running to play the game?
I played just Payday 3, Payday 2 soundtrack, and that's like what I ran to.
Oh, you were running to it.
I was running to it, yeah. Like in the gym or, you know, just running. So, so yeah, that's everything I did.
Pretty fun.
Good stuff.
Good stuff. I think that's the episode.
I think that is the episode.
Yeah,
thanks. Longer than I thought.
Yeah, I know. What the fuck? This was too short.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we can cut some stuff.
Thank you, everyone, for watching. Thank you for listening. You got our link trees in the bio. You can go take a look at the socials and whatnot. Subscriptions would be nice. 5-star ratings on stuff would be nice.
That would, yep. Tell us your favorite vampire comic.
Yeah, best vampire comic. Tell us at trailriderspod@gmail.com. What are we reading next week, Nathan?
What are we gonna read next week?
Is it Ice Cream Man?
Ice Cream Man.
Ice Cream Man.
Yeah.
Scary one, I guess. I don't know.
I think so.
Maybe.
We'll see.
Yeah.
It definitely horror comic though.
Okay.
So, all right. We'll see you next week.
All right. Bye.
Bye.